Well, first and most importantly, happy Mother's Day to all you ladies out there. As I was telling some before service, whether you have children of your own or others, you have certainly influenced many, many children and people in your years as a lady. So, you know, I want you to feel just as honored today as those that actually have had children. I wanted to ask, has anybody here ever heard of Judge Frank Caprio? I see a lot of blank stares. It's really interesting because up until a year or so ago, I'd never heard of the man either. He is a retired municipal court judge in the city of Providence, Rhode Island. And I don't know if that rings a bell for anybody yet. But the rest of the story is, well, I'll tell you that in a minute. But first of all, if you would, open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, the last chapter of the book. And hopefully you'll see a connection between what we're going to read and Judge Caprio. But before we get into the Word, let's pause for a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and ears to hear the message you would have for each and every person today. We do thank you so much for the influence of godly mothers, of mothers that are of upstanding character. We thank you for the training they gave us, and just so thankful for each and every lady in this congregation and their contribution over the years, and the many that have passed that did so much to formulate us as human beings. We ask that you would be with me, give me the words you would have me to deliver today, help the people to understand how you would want it to be interpreted, not me. We just thank you so much for your love, for the opportunity to fill in for the pastor and to share the word of God. It's in the name of his Son and our Savior that we pray. Amen. Proverbs 31 is pretty much devoted to mothers and motherhood and women of that era, but it's so many lessons in this chapter can be carried over to today. So we'll start with verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, my son, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to those which destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice for all of the afflicted. Give strong drink to those who are perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Now pay special attention to verse 9 here, where it says, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause for the poor and needy. King Lemuel's mother is teaching her son here a list of good characteristics for a young man, one that is in line to be king or has already become king. And certainly the influence of a mother cannot be denied. In this case of King Lemuel, we see a mother who is doing her best to keep her son on the straight and narrow and to point him in the direction of an honest career, trying to teach him to be loving, forgiving, caring to his fellow man, and a host of other good character traits, but especially judge righteously and care for the poor and needy. Evidently, Judge Frank Caprio, that I was talking about earlier, had a mother that taught him many similar traits. I certainly want to disregard the influence of a father, but today's Mother's Day, so that's what we're going to focus on. I want to read a little bit about Judge Caprio. Growing up on Federal Hill in Providence, Rhode Island, Frank Caprio came from humble beginnings. He grew up the second of three boys with a stay-at-home mom, Philomena. and Father Antonio, who worked as a fruit peddler and milkman. In their Coldwater flat, the family love sparked his ambitions. Long before he became a judge, young Frank shined shoes, delivered newspaper, worked on a milk truck, all following his parents' example of working hard to better the lives of those around him. This upbringing ingrained in him an extraordinary ability to view the world from the perspective of others. Frank has put that ability to good use, dedicating his life to service. He served as Providence, Rhode Island Municipal Court Judge from 1985 until his retirement in 2023. His court is known worldwide due to the top-rated nationally syndicated television show Caught in Providence. And if you haven't seen it, it's on some of the 27 or one of those UHF channels, or it was, I don't know if it still is. I think it's worth, if you indulge in YouTube, I think it's worth looking on YouTube and just search for Frank Caprio or Caught in Providence. You'll see some of the most heartwarming videos of stories of him serving as judge. And, well, we'll talk more about that in a minute. He's also served as chairman of the Rhode Island Board of Governors for Higher Education, and that's the governing body for the University of Rhode Island, Rhode Island College, and Community College of Rhode Island. His dad, I'll tell you this real quick, I don't want to focus on dad, but his dad was a milkman for a while, and people would pay if they could. They would sometimes run a tab, and he would allow that. The milk company told him, said, if they go 2 weeks without paying, cut them off. He said, I can't do that. He said, they have children at home. He said, I cannot refuse to give them milk because those kids need the milk. Well, the company stood firm and said, you either cut them off or you don't have a job. He turned out he would pay out of his own pocket to keep their accounts current. That's the type of influence that Frank Caprio grew up with. So he has a couple of scholarship funds set up in honor of his dad. But if you've ever watched, or when you watch some of the episodes, you'll see that, boy, he has a no-nonsense, give-me-a-break type attitude a lot of the time. But he also has an extremely tender heart. In my opinion, one of the most impressive examples came It really emphasizes verse 9, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause for the poor and needy. In 2018, a lady named Angie Cheshire, a single mother from Indiana, spontaneously sent a $25 donation to Judge Caprio and said, use this for some other single mom that's having a hard time. So, shortly after that, in one of the episodes, where he had a single mother in there, that he applied that $25 toward her fine that he had to assess. The lady that sent the money in said her motivation for doing it was that Judge Caprio just exhibited so much kindness and love. Days after that case aired, dozens and dozens of donations came in to the show asking for similar situations for people that couldn't afford to pay their fine or that were having a hard time, people that were out of work. Judge Caprio named that fund the Philomena Fund in honor of his mother because of her love and kindness, and she had taught him fairness, love, and kindness and compassion from a very young age. Judge Caprio said that fund embodies his mother's memory of what he remembers of her reaching out to help others there in Federal Hill of Providence and beyond. After nearly 40 years on the bench, he retired, and that fund has now been transferred over to another nonprofit there in Rhode Island, but it's still going on, still being used, and still helping many, many people. And I think it's interesting that Philomena, if you translate it from the Greek, it means friend of strength or loved one. How fitting that her name, that she was given to, you know, that she was given that name at birth. Her parents had no idea what she was going to turn out to be like, but they planted that seed, and from that grew the caring, loving woman. And I might add, just recently, Judge Caprio has been, he's now 87 years of age. He's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he's going through treatment. And he did a YouTube video publicly asking for prayers. So I would ask you, if you would, to pray for his recovery, his health, and just that more people can see his show and learn kindness that he exhibits there. Okay, that's Judge Caprio. Now let's get into Proverbs and the love of a mother and the influence of caring mothers. It's the last chapter of Proverbs, and it starts out with, these are the words of King Lemuel, the message that his mother taught. My question was, who in the world is King Lemuel? I have never come across his name before other than here. Did a little research, and you know, the Jewish people maintain exhaustive records on genealogy through the years, and there is no record of a king in Judah or Israel with the name Lemuel. So nobody knows who this man is. Nobody knows who the mother is. A lot of biblical scholars feel like it was actually King Solomon himself that he was writing, but didn't want to be identified as King Solomon, so he just used the words King Lemuel. And again, I'm sure that at the inspiration of God, if that's the case, if that is the case, and it was King Solomon, then his mother would have been Bathsheba. And I think if that is the case, then we see in this chapter, we're going to see why King Solomon has such a kindness and so much wisdom as he goes through his kingship. There's also a theory that it was nobody, that it was just a hypothetical king and his mother showing the proper behavior for a king, the love between a king and his mother, and then the mother's desire for the bride of the king. Lemuel means for God or devoted to God. We don't know who King Lemuel is. We don't know really anything about him. Don't know who his mother is, but that really doesn't matter. The first 9 verses that we read are focused on attributes that a young man should have. And then from here on, it takes off, as I said, with the mother's traits that she would like to see in her daughter-in-law. As the author of Proverbs, King Solomon writes some sage advice in this chapter that he likely did receive from his mother, and again, from holy inspiration of God. Perhaps a lot of this advice, such as what I'm about to tell you, is meant for all people, even today. When we see a wrong, we need to open our mouth and say something. When we judge others, we need to do so righteously. And that carries a big weight there. And we need to speak up for the poor and the needy. In studying for today's lesson and considering these traits that the king's mother wished for her son's bride, I did a little other research on the perfect bride or the perfect woman. And let me tell you some of the top traits that came up in this study. Honesty, courage, self-sacrifice, wisdom, compassion, hopefulness, and strength of spirit. You know what's missing there? There's nothing about looks. It's the inner qualities that men want in a wife. Let's start with verse 10. We'll continue there. And remember, this is King Lemuel's mother describing the type of woman she would want him to go after. And it gives Christian women a goal to strive for, as well as a Christian man a reminder of the type of wife he should be looking for. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? What is a virtuous wife? Earlier in the book of Proverbs, back in Proverbs 12, she's called an excellent wife. The term virtuous is also applied to men and translated mighty men of valor in 2 Kings and able men in Exodus. Alan Ross said that the vocabulary and expressions in general have the ring of a champion. In other words, a woman does not simply, what this woman did has not just fallen to her. Her victory is through wisdom, hard work, the battle, the military allusions, and many other translations of the word virtuous point to a hard-fought battle for her. I've done much reading in the book of Proverbs, and you know the qualities of a virtuous wife have been mentioned elsewhere in the book. And you know that the book of Proverbs has much to say about the strong work ethic, wisdom, honesty, wise business practices, respectable speech, compassion, and love for the needy. And this being the final chapter of the book, it stands as a tribute to strong women who fear the Lord and respect the Lord. Verse 10 ends with, her worth is far above rubies. In other words, she is more precious. She is worth more than precious stones. Continuing with verse 11 and 12, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. I want to stop and make one mention here. I have unfortunately known and worked with some men who felt like the wife was a burden. And I've got to tell you, that is 100% opposite of God's plan. The book of Genesis tells us, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not a helpmeet for him. We know that God intended man and woman to serve one another, to support one another. We've all heard the old saying, behind every successful man is a strong woman. I believe that's true. God intended for men and women to share life's burdens and life's pleasures as married couple. Continuing with verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. A virtuous woman's character is absolutely trustworthy. Her husband trusts her, and she's filled with integrity. F.P. Meyer says, in the whole delineation, there is hardly any trait more beautiful than this, absolute trustworthiness. He seeks her confidence and advice. He has no fear of her betraying his secrets. He can safely trust her. We're going to have to step it up a little, but continuing now with verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household, a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. When King Lemuel's mother switches from a virtuous, godly woman to one who is busy, hardworking, and creative wife and mother, we start to see that come together here. The activities listed in these four verses aren't necessarily something that she does all day, every day, but rather intended to show the variety of chores and tasks she takes on for her part of the partnership of the home. She knows how to find things that are needed for the home. She knows how to work with her hands. Most importantly, she's willing to do so. She provides for her family. And when it's required, she's up through the night taking care of the needs of her family. In verse 16, we see where she's concerned with family finances now and in the future, and it says she buys a field and plants a vineyard. We won't turn there, but Isaiah chapter 5, we find a description of a man putting in a vineyard. He fenced it, he gathered out the stones thereof, he planted it and built a tower in the midst of it and made a wine press. That's a lot of work to put in a vineyard. And it says in Proverbs 31 that this lady did that by herself. Based on that, there's a lot more to putting in a vineyard than we probably thought of. Just bending over, picking up rocks out of a field is a backbreaking task that'll wear you down fast. Much less all of the other aspects of the planting and building the wine press and fencing and all. So as we continue with verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Again, she works through the night if that's what it requires. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and holds her hands, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. The ideal wife and mother is wise, creative, and she's strong, it says. She makes only the best merchandise and works as late as it takes to get it done. And look especially at verse 20. And I think it's interesting that God inspired this to be repeated. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. Back in verse 9, you know, we read basically the same thing. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause for the poor and needy. That's three times in this one chapter that God inspired the author to talk about the poor and needy. And I think that carries over into any dispensation that has ever been. I think we are commanded to look out for the poor and needy and support them. And I think it's biblical instruction that carries over for us. This congregation has been so blessed. Most of us, if not all of us, are so well off compared to so many. We don't have to wonder where the next meal is coming from. We have clothes, we have shelter, and we don't mind. We've demonstrated in the past with our donations to the food bank and other aspects of service that we don't mind. We love sharing what God has given us with others. And that's what King Lemuel's mother is looking for in a future daughter-in-law, someone who has the love and compassion and willingness to give to the poor and needy. If you spend a little time in the book of Proverbs, especially chapter 19, you'll find there a number of references to the poor and the needy, as well as the rich. You'll read about a slothful man. You'll read about wrathful men. But you'll also read in Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given, he will pay him again. Now, unfortunately, that scripture is terribly abused by the prosperity preachers that try to trick you into believing that whatever you give is going to be repaid to you. That's not what the verse says. But we need to remember to help those that are less fortunate. 1 John 3, verse 13 through 18. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that when we have passed from death into life, we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. Listen to this right here. But we know love because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whosoever has the world's good and sees a brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So I think that's always important for us to remember when we have opportunities to help others. And verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. Don't just talk the story of love and giving. Love like Jesus loves you. Forgive like Jesus love like Jesus loves you, and forgive like God through Jesus forgives you. Continuing now with verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. A wise and virtuous wife and mother is always prepared to take care of her family. And here we see an example. She's got on clothes. She's got heavier clothes for the winter. And she respects her husband and cares for him so that he's well respected in the gates of the community. She not only provides the necessities, but is able to clothe herself in purple, which is the color of royalty. Her husband, with her support, is a community leader and respected in part because of the respectable walk of his wife. British theologian Adam Clark said, "She is a loving wife and feels for the respectability and honor of her husband. He is respected not only because of his neatness and cleanness of person and dress, but because he is the husband of a woman who is justly held in universal esteem, and her complete management of household affairs gives him full leisure to devote himself to the civic and civil interests of the community." So she is behind the scenes helping her husband to have time to serve the community, which in turn benefits her family. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Not only does she provide for her family, she goes above and beyond by providing merchandise that she sells to the local merchants to help finance the family household. She loves her family deeply, but takes it so much further. Her foresight and drive that we see in verse 25 will allow her to rejoice in time to come by planning ahead. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. The wise woman measures her words and speaks only wisdom and kindness, it says here, both in her deliberate speech and in her spontaneous words. Look again at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And then in verse 27, we see that she's a faithful guardian of her home and family. She is so intent on watching out for the husband and children that she doesn't allow herself to be idle or to eat the bread of idleness. Bottom line, I think that means she's not lazy. But I think we didn't need this verse to tell us. Just from everything else we've read, we see that she is committed to her family and to her husband. Now we look briefly at her role as a mother. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. I think the best example that a mother can be is to be a loving Christian wife and to manage to run her household in a Christian way. She's not only well respected in the community, but by her husband and by her children. The children call her blessed, and her husband praises her. I think this is something we all can learn from. Men, we need to praise and honor our wives. And children, you need to praise and honor your parents. Verse 29, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. These are words from a husband to a wife, and I think it's natural that, it should be natural that every husband thinks his wife is above them all. Every child should think their mother is above them all. I think it is entirely within the realm of possibility for every household to have the absolute best mother, because she's dedicated directly to her children and to her husband. This is a healthy family relationship. Now, finishing with the last two verses, earlier I talked about a survey being taken and how physical appearance, looks, beauty, was not even mentioned in the top answers. Look at verse 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hand, and let her works praise her in the gate. I think that says it all right there. Beauty is passing, so it doesn't matter what they look like. They're going to change over time, so be ready for that. But I think we so many times we focus strictly on looks instead of what's in somebody's heart. King Lemuel's mother here noted the passing nature of outer beauty and the deceitful nature of manipulative charm. In contrast, a woman who truly fears the Lord has beauty that does not pass and charm that doesn't deceive. Charm is deceitful because so many times, most of the time, it is a false representation of the person. So that indicates that it's intentional deception. And physical appearance isn't completely discredited, but it's noted as temporary. It's a passing thing. If someone is totally focused on physical, they're likely to be disappointed in the future. Charm and beauty are not bad, but they should not be the primary focus of a man looking for a wife. Fear of the Lord and respect should be the primary focus for those that search, according to verse 30. A hard-working, dedicated, God-fearing, honorable, trustworthy, driven, creative mother and wife will be rewarded for what she has accomplished for her family. This passage that we've studied this morning contains 22 points about the excellent wife and mother. Let us be thankful today for the Christian wives and mothers, our own and others, who influenced us and helped keep us on a pathway that God would approve of. We should also be thankful for the women who never chose to marry, but nurtured us as we grew into adults. Let us pray for the next generation of dedicated Christian women, wives, and mothers, that they will have the knowledge of God's word, obedience to Him, and will be the respectable and caring woman that we have studied today. We thank God for our own mothers and women in general for the influences on us throughout our lives. I'd like to close now with a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you for our mothers and ladies that have had such a strong influence on us. We thank you for your love for us and providing the family unit. We thank you so much for our countless blessings, for this time to come together and study your word. We thank you so much for your love for us and for sending your Son to die on the cross to cover our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.